Jesus House, in pursuit of God, discovering purpose, maximizing potential, impacting lives. This message is being brought to you from Jesus House, London. God bless you.
Father Almighty God, we come before you and we lean totally upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We ask, O Lord, for your kindness and your mercy. We plead sincerely the blood of Jesus over each and every person. We ask, O Lord, that as we come to you under the blood, that as we walk in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we hear your voice and sit with your word, Father Almighty God, you change us. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you for the victory that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, tonight we yield totally to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We ask, my Father, that you teach, that you open your word, that you cause your word to edify, to encourage, and Father Almighty God, to exhort and motivate us to do so much better. Father Almighty God, for each person that is joining us that requires a miracle, we pause at the beginning to ask, Father Almighty God, that in your kindness, that as we gather as a family, whether we mention it or not, whether we know it or not, that you minister to them as they require. And Father, for everybody who's listening to this back by podcast, we're excited that they are here. And we ask that they have as much of a great time as we do tonight. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin tonight, you are most welcome. So we picked up from last week, and I will read through it. I'll read through our scripture. And so I'm going to read from 2 Peter. And I'm going to read from verses 1. And I'll stop at verse 11 and I'll read it in the King James Version of the Bible. And I may read other versions as we go on, but I'll start with the King James Version of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says the following: Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're picking up our narrative. There's a reason we are looking at this over the next few weeks, and it's very simple. If you have a promise, as we have promises, ladies and gentlemen, this year from the Lord, if we have promises, then as we go through the Bible and as we look at, in particular, this scripture, as with many others, what you'll begin to realize is that there is an environment that is within our reach that we can create that will ensure that the promises of God come to pass in our life. And it will literally transform our prayer life because we will come to God with an assurance and a confidence that will enable us to present our case to everybody, but most of all, present our case to Him. But most of all, it will also cause that we will have an expectation and a connection to the ability of God that produces the miracles that we are all so desirous of. And so, ladies and gentlemen, and we started last week and we started in verses 1 and 2, and we got through grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And that was where we stopped last week. And so we're going to pick up the our teaching tonight, and we're going to start. If you look at verse 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace, we said, is the divine, that supernatural ability, the grace of God, where God intervenes on your behalf as a ruler intervenes on the behalf of one of his servants. So all the ability that is necessary for you to get something done comes from the Lord. The second thing we looked at is peace. Peace effectively is where your relationship with God, where your relationship with God is such that it is being returned to an original state, where the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, reading from verse 1, for we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, allowing the fullness of God to be expressed through our lives, changing our lives for the better. So the Bible says that grace and peace, that means any challenge that you might face as you spend time with God in His Word. So the Bible says, through the knowledge of God, the Bible. So looking at that is that whenever you are facing a challenge, which is what we said last week, turn to the Word of God to discover what has God said about Himself, what has God said about Jesus Christ, what has Jesus said in that situation, and what has God done before, building up our confidence and our assurance. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that Bible says when you do so, that the level of grace, that is God's intervention, and the level of peace, that is the presence and ability of the Lord, will rise to the challenge of whatever you are facing. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what we said last week is as you spend time in the Bible, notice the level of grace and the level of peace increases to meet the challenge that you are facing on a daily basis. And that's what we said last week, which was really encouraging. And the Bible says, and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's two things. Number one, a knowledge of who God is. Number two, a knowledge of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And that's where we left it last week. That when God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says he caused us to sit with him in glory, and therefore what God has done through Jesus Christ, he has done in our life, and it's made it accessible. We are able to access it through him. Okay? And so, ladies and gentlemen, we'll turn to tonight's verse. That's just a short summary of what we looked at last week. And so now we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to pick up the story from verse 3. Now, it is a if each section goes on, and like I said, last week, I encourage you to read it in your own time. And so that's 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start from verses 3 to 4 now. And so this is what the Bible says in the King James. And I'm going to read it from 2 so that we get a clear picture. The Bible says the following: grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We spoke about that. But then the Bible says what comes next is connected to that. And the Bible says, according. Now, when the Bible says according, it means in harmony with. So it's not so much. So when you say, okay, how much grace, how much peace, how much of God's goodness can be extended to me in any situation? The Bible says when you go to the Bible and when you go to the promises, God's response is predetermined by what he says next. And he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, that is your daily living, and godliness, that is living out your Christian faith in whatever sphere or environment you find yourself in. And so let's pause for a moment. Where the Bible says, according as his divine power. So there is something that God has already done on our behalf that gives me confidence when I come into his presence, when I come to asking for something, when I come to the place of prayer. There's something God has already done that gives me great confidence to do so. And so let's have a look at what, as the Bible says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. So please come with me, ladies and gentlemen. And so let's see what his divine power has done. What has his divine power given to us? And there are two or three examples in the Bible, and I'll start. So if you could turn, and I'm if you could turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and I'll put it in the chat, ladies and gentlemen. Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read from, I'm going to read from verse 4. So Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 8. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic Bible of the Amplified Classic version of the Bible. And so this is when Jesus, this is just before Jesus' ascension. The Bible says from verse 4, and while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard of me speak. And he's referring to the person of the Holy Spirit, which we will look at in a moment. The Bible says the following, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with, placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit. And so when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings, the things and events of time and their definite periods or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed, fixed and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power. But this is what he said, although you won't know what the timetable of God may look like unless he reveals it, notice what he says. He says, but, verse 8, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. The word power broken down is ability, efficiency, and might. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the power of God will do something. He will cause something to happen in your life, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to be God's witness. So the question is, this is where one of the expressions of the power of God, as we've seen in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, where the Bible says, according as his divine power has given. So the first thing that his divine power has given that we will look at tonight, the first thing we will look at is the person of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. The person of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. So that means the power of God, who has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The first thing we'll see is the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, that person of the Holy Spirit, he does specific things. And we're going to look at one key verse about it. So you understand, so it will help understand how God has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. John chapter 14, and I'm going to go to verse 26. So ladies and gentlemen, in any situation, remember what we said, in any situation, when you come to the Lord, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you, so that you, any situation you find yourself in, the intervention and the ability of God will be increased such that you can be successful in whatever you're facing. This, the functions of this, or how this happens, one of the ways is through the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to, and so let's look at what he does. Just one thing about him. So we realize that the power of God, the first thing he has given to us is the ministry and person of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will do. And I'm going to read John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. And then I'm going to go somewhere else. So that this just gives you the assurance that when you come into a challenge, you are not on your own. John 14, verse 26. This is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And I am reading from the Amplified Classic version of the Bible. The Bible says the following. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. So ladies and gentlemen, as we look at tonight, I want you to put two things together. The first thing is, the Bible says God, by his divine power, has given you all things pertaining unto life and godliness. And so that means, we're going to break that down in a moment, but life and godliness means life as in your daily lives, whether that be business, whether that be children, whether that be your ministry life, whether that be what you do on a daily basis. The Bible says all things that pertain unto life, for you to be who you're meant to be in every relationship you are. Also, the Bible says according to godliness, that means everything that God needs you to be, everything that God needs to express through your life, everything relating to him, everything he asks you to do in your relationship with him, whether that be prayer, study, worship, obedience, giving, whether that be walking in Christ, whether that be who you are, how you pray, how you interact with the invisible. The Bible says God has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But the Bible says in John 14, verse 26, where Jesus said the power of God will cause the ministry and person to come to you, ladies and gentlemen, notice, so that you have an ability and an efficiency and a might that you didn't have before, a capacity that you didn't have before. And the first thing we point to is the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was speaking about him, he said the following. The Bible says that he will send the Holy Spirit, and the first thing he will do, or one of the central part of his ministry, is to teach you all things. And then he says he will bring to your remembrance anything that I've said to you. So ladies and gentlemen, that means whenever you come to God in a situation that is challenging you, this is why the Holy Spirit said through Peter that grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. The person who will make that a reality. So it's, listen carefully, the person that will make that a reality is the person of the Holy Spirit. Why? He will teach you that in any situation and in any circumstance, he will teach you all things. That means what you need to know about God, what you need to know about Christ, what you need to know about what is available to you now, what you need to know about what God has revealed to you or made available. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you. So, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you're facing a problem and you turn to the Bible and you turn to the Lord in prayer, or you turn to the Lord in study, or you turn to the Lord in any way, primarily prayer, prayer and study. As you do so, know for the fact that you have a teacher. That means if you are facing a challenge, whereby you are facing a challenge, let's say in your finances, or you're facing a challenge in life or in a relationship, as you go to the Word, the Bible says you have a teacher. So the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, this is who God is in this situation. This is what God has done for you in this situation. This is what you are to say now that can change this situation. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as you realize all these things are a reality, the Bible says your ability and your efficiency and your capacity in that area increases. We also realize that God has an increased ability to intervene on your behalf and to manifest his presence in what you are going through. So what this says is you are, as you come to God in any situation, know for a fact the first thing, or I'm saying the first thing, that not so much the first in order, the first thing we're looking at tonight is that when you come to God and you approach his promises or his word and you have a need, you have a teacher. And the Bible says, and I will go through this very briefly and then I'll move on. The Bible says, still looking at John chapter 14, verse 26, look at the different things the Holy Spirit will do. And I'm only going to look at this briefly, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says he's a comforter. Now, the comforter broken down is the following: counselor. A counselor is a person that gives you advice. Helper, that means a person who comes alongside you to do what you are trying to do to cause it to be successful. Intercessor, that means somebody who intervenes between you and any authority and ability so that you can, and intervenes for you in the positive. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible also says the Holy Spirit is your advocate. He pleads your case in the positive. He is your strengthener. That means in any situation you face, the Holy Spirit will give you a sufficient amount of strength to literally keep going and overcome. And also, he's your standby. That means when you run out, he will fill in the gaps so that you can keep going. So the Bible says the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the first thing that the power of God has given you that allows you to access all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the first thing. The second thing the power of God has done that is yours, and I really hope this helps you in your prayer life. I really do. So the first thing you know is when you come into the place of prayer, you have a teacher, somebody you can ask questions, someone who can instruct you. So ladies and gentlemen, let me pause for a moment. Let me pause for a moment. Before I move on, I wanted to move on. I'll just pause. A teacher means somebody who will instruct you so that you are able to do something successfully that you couldn't do before. And so, ladies and gentlemen, please turn in your Bible, the book of Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to read from 20 to 21. And this will make clear what I was saying. Isaiah 30, from 20 to 21. The Bible says in the Bible, now this is a prophetic statement where God is speaking to the children of Israel, but he reveals something that we can hold on to that is true through eternity, because Jesus said it about the Holy Spirit, said he will be your teacher. Listen to what the Holy Ghost will do in any situation you're facing. So when you have to make that call, that decision, and what to say, this is who you can rely on. The Bible says in Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21, the following: "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." So what am I saying, ladies and gentlemen? I'm saying that when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you, when he will reveal all the amazing things that God has done, which we're going to look at next, what I want you to understand is in when you are facing a challenge, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will not only reveal to you what God has done, who Jesus is and what he has done, but he will also be your guide, telling you this is the right way to go, and this is not the right way to go. This is what to say, or this is what not to say. He will be your teacher. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that puts you in a very strong advantage. So as you come into the place of prayer, and as you approach your study, especially when you're going through a challenge, you can expect with an assurance that the ministry of the Holy Spirit will be there, and he will speak to your spirit to guide you. How will he do it? Like we've said before, primarily he will either speak to you directly, open the Bible to you, he will cause a song to mean something to you, but he will cause a message to mean something to you, or he will cause you to see something clearly. But most of all, he'll give you an impression. And the impression will be, yes, this is right, or no, this is wrong. So you can do what God wants you to do in any situation. And so that's the first thing the power of God has given us, that Peter said that according to the power of God, the Lord has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the first thing. But let's look at the second thing. The second thing tonight, not necessarily the second thing in order, but the second thing tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, come back, please, with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, the second thing that the divine power of God has done for us, that gives us access to all things that pertain unto life and godliness, the second thing, please turn in your Bible, and I will read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I'm going to read from 17, but I'm going to read to verse 23. And you'll understand in a moment. So let me read, and it's a Pauline prayer. And the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So this explains what his mighty power has done. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let me pause. The second thing there, ladies and gentlemen, that the power of God has done that grants us access. And so I'll put that in the chat for those of you that are following. That's Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. The second thing that the power of God has done is our victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when you come to the promises of God, you are not coming to maybes. You are coming to what Jesus Christ has won, who Jesus Christ is, and what Jesus Christ has won on our behalf. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to the promises of God, the Bible says, as and we will look at that in a moment, but I want you to focus on this. Notice, the power of God literally didn't just raise Jesus from the dead. He put him in a position of authority that is unassailable, but he also put you and I in that position, and we have access to all the benefits and all the things that Jesus has won. And the Bible says we have access to those things through the name of Jesus. But I'm going to pause for a moment. And so there are two things we want to look at. Jesus's victory gives you access to all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Jesus's victory. We've already spoken about Jesus's victory giving you access to divine direction, because we've spoken about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you remember, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're one. So when the Holy Spirit directs you, he's directing you according to the plans and the purposes of God. The things that he knows. The Bible says, he searches the heart of God. The Bible says he knows God's plans for your life. And the Bible says it is his job to reveal to you God's plans and intentions. So what has Jesus done? He's given you access to the plans and the purposes of God. That means tomorrow should not scare you, which is why when we have promises that speak of a new, or promises that speak of a tomorrow that is amazing, we have a teacher and a guide who's going to make it all clear. So you have access through Jesus Christ to the direction of the person of the Holy Spirit. And that means God's plans are no longer, through that, God's plans are no longer a mystery to you. The Holy Spirit will explain them to you in ways you can understand, at levels you can understand. So you'll know that I'm doing what God wants in this particular situation. Please turn in your Bibles. I just want to demonstrate that in scripture before I move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read, ladies and gentlemen, from 9. And I'm going to read to verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from 9 to 12. So just to put a cap on that point, that Jesus Christ, part of his victory, he's given you access to the plans and the purposes of God. And we're coming to another one in a moment. I hope this really blesses somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 9. The Bible says the following, and I'm going to read in the King James Version of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Pause. That means there is no human or equivalent, no human access to the plans of God. So you can't find out the plans of God from any human expression. And when I say that, that means things like palm readers, things like horoscopes, things like even, you know, all the knowledge and intelligence of a man, whereby, because as you know, what, we don't need God anymore. We can work things out. We have, you know, a whole range of stuff. The Bible says it's not entered into the heart of man. They can't work out what God has planned for you without him revealing it to them. So you can't live your life excluding God, or excluding the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or excluding the Bible, and expect to discover the plans of God. You can't do that. But let's keep reading, because it's not something negative. Let's keep reading. The Bible says from verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That means, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit has full access to the plans and purposes that God has for you and your life. And the Bible says from verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. For I will pause there. The reason I will say that is, I cannot tell you what you are dreaming about. I cannot tell you accurately. I cannot tell you accurately what you're hoping for. I've got a question in the chat, and I will come to that. I cannot tell you accurately what I am, what you're dreaming about. I cannot tell you accurately what's going on your inside. I cannot tell you accurately how you feel, what you remember, or what you imagine. The only person that has full access to that is you and the Almighty. So let's keep going with the example. I will come to your example. And the Bible says the following. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what we realize, the only person that has access to the plans and purposes of God, the only person that has access is the person of the Holy Spirit. Because not only does he have access, he understands the whole picture. He understands the whole picture. And based upon that, you realize he is the only key person you can rely on when it comes to direction. And the Bible says, Jesus said, through who I am and through what I have achieved, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is with you. Now, that's key. So he's the only person you need to go to. Now, I got a question in the chat, and it says, I have a question about this, and it's, what about spirits of divination, where spirits can predict or point out this is how things should go, and so on. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to understand is there is an invisible world. Spirits of divination, and this is, and I'll explain it through what Jesus said. They look at the way the land lies. They have access to things that are going on in the spirit, but they do not have access to the plans and the purposes of God. They can say, yes, at this particular point in time, this is a good time to do it, because what they see in the spirit, it's almost like they assess the information and give nudges. But the Bible specifically says to avoid such people. Don't go to people with spirits of divination. Why? You're not getting the whole picture, and their motivation is not from the Lord. And so any spirit outside the Holy Spirit, any spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, listen to me very carefully. The Bible says, don't trust that spirit. Why? Those spirits have one goal in mind, and it's the spirit of Satan who runs that world. And that means a spirit of divination ultimately wants to steal, kill, or destroy something that God has given you. Now, I will also point you back, because it was a very good question, to show you that example. The driving force that motivated all the things that happened around Jesus's crucifixion was primarily spiritual. And the Bible says, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. The Bible says, I'll read from 7 for completion, and it was a very good question. The Bible says, but we speak the wisdom of God, that means the ability to apply the knowledge and ability and knowledge of God to affect things. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Pause. A spirit of divination outside the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the best of them, okay? The very best of them pointed to say, kill this man, Jesus Christ, to further the plans and the purposes of the one they serve, which is Satan. The Bible then says, ladies and gentlemen, please keep this in mind. The Bible then says, notice, by the time they had executed their well-laid plans, if they had known what God had planned, they would have left Jesus alive. Because in Jesus' death and resurrection, okay? Jesus' death and resurrection, the Bible says God's plans and purposes came to pass in a way that they could not imagine. So, ladies and gentlemen, trusting in people with or spirits of divination, the Bible says, is not advisable. Why? They don't have the whole picture, and their motive for action is negative. All right? And so please keep that in mind. And then the Bible says, but the person who you can trust is the person of the Holy Spirit, who will open the plans and the purposes of God in a way that you can understand it. That's what teachers do. And he said, I'm not only going to show you, but I'm going to walk with you to ensure that the plans and purposes of God come to pass. And so when it comes to direction, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the person that you can trust in that situation is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, his ministry and person has come to you through the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, this man, the Holy Spirit is going to come to represent me. So please keep that in mind. I hope that really helps. Great question. Very, very great question. The second thing I want you to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a look at another thing is this. All that Jesus has won on your behalf, all that he has won on your behalf is available to you through his name. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what that means is when you now come to the promises of God, you are not coming to the promises of God on a individual Have I been good today? Have I not been good today? How is God feeling kind of basis. You are coming on the basis of the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please turn in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Please turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. And the Bible says the following: For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Meaning, when I come to the Lord, or I'm facing a challenge, and I come to claim one of the promises of the Lord, and we're going to look at a few of those promises in a moment, the Bible says my confidence in asking God to do it on my behalf is based upon the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the reason I'm saying that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we're going in our study. The reason I'm saying that is, notice, so when you come to God and you approach the Lord in a situation where you need one of the promises of God to come to pass, please hear me. You are not coming to God based upon your goodness, your obedience. Has God had a good day? That's not how it works. You are coming to God based upon the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will grant it to you. Meaning, all you have to do is present to God, come to God in my name. The rest, it's not going to be done for you because you're amazing. That's why remember what we said? Grace and peace. God's intervention and the manifestation of God's person and power are going to get it done on your behalf. All you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is believe that this is what Jesus has won for me. And then the persistent journey that we hold on, whereby we hold on to the promises, we confess the promises, we speak the promises, we act on the promises, that produces the miracles that we are holding on to God for. But let's look at a couple of examples tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But please turn in your Bibles, just so that we have a clear picture. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and I'm going to read from 12. The reason I'm saying that is this, so that we're clear. As you approach the promises of God, I want you to realize you just have to believe that Jesus' life, death, ministry, and resurrection were successful. The rest, the heavy lifting, will be done by the Lord. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me read from the Bible, John chapter 14, reading from verses 12 to 14. The Bible says, which backs up what I just said a moment ago, but I really want to make sure that your confidence sits in the Word of God, not something I say to you. The Bible says the following, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you're coming to the promises of God, and Jesus said, when you ask, you are asking God to do it on your behalf, not for any other reason than my victory, who I am now, who God has caused me to be. That means when you come to God and you ask in Jesus's name, your name is the loudest. And the reason I say that is this really has to affect your personal prayer life. As you come to God and ask him to do something he has promised, Jesus says, let me take away the maybe. So let me take away the fact that you've had two or three bad days. You shouted at somebody in traffic. You may have yelled at your children. You may not have shown up at church for 2 weeks or whatever. He said, let me take away all the maybes. When you come to God, you are coming to God in simple faith that what God promised and what God will do based upon Jesus's victory is the foundation that you need for him to answer your prayers. That whatsoever you ask, the same confidence. And so this is really important. And ladies and gentlemen, when you are claiming the promises of God, please have this mindset. The promises don't work because you are a good person. The promises work because Jesus is who he says he is. And so that's really, really important. And so let's look at a couple that in a couple of areas. What has Jesus won on your behalf? I'll just have a look at a couple. There are two that are actually running through my mind, that running through my heart that I'll look at tonight. Turn in your Bibles, please, ladies and gentlemen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah. One of the Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to read from verses 4 to Isaiah 53, and I'm going to read from verses 4 to 5. So let's use the example of healing. When you have to come before God and you're not feeling very well, or a loved one is not feeling very well, and you now want to claim the promise where God says, if you ask me, God, for healing in any situation based upon what Jesus has done, I will answer you. And so let's have a look at that foundation. Isaiah 53 verses 4, and I'll read to 5. This is the prophecy. Then we'll look at the fulfillment. Then we'll look at the access. Isaiah, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I'll put it in the chat. And I'm going to put three verses of the Bible in the chat. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. 2 Peter 2:24. And James chapter 5. Let me just check that reference so I can put it in so I can. James 5. Yes, James 5, 14 to 16. So the first scripture I'm going to read, ladies and gentlemen, is Isaiah 53, and I'm going to read from verses 4. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So ladies and gentlemen, this is the promise of God, that when God says, I will heal you when you require it, the promise says, by virtue of what God did through Jesus's death on the cross and the stripes on his back, healing is available to you and I on request. Healing is available. Turn with me, please, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's what, please, so this is the promise. So this is where the promise is. So please turn with me to 2 Peter And I'm going to read verses. Actually, no, sorry. First, let me, I apologize. 1 Peter 2:24, not 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. Let me put that in the chat. It's 1 Peter, I apologize. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 says the following: Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the promise and the fulfillment. The promise was in Isaiah that through the suffering of the Messiah, healing will be made available to you. The fulfillment is in Peter, where he said, this is what Jesus did. He died on the tree. He separated us from our sins. And the Bible says, by whose stripes ye were healed, restored to an original state. But now, how do we access that promise? Come with me, please, to James chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading from 14. The Bible says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Then the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, ladies and gentlemen, how do we access the promise of healing that Jesus has won on the cross of Calvary? The Bible says, pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ, what Jesus has won is going to show up on your behalf. And so when Jesus says, when you come to God to ask for a promise, when you come to the Lord, the Bible says, through what God has done through the ministry of Jesus Christ, he has made available to you everything that God has done. The Bible says, through his name, that will work for you. And so I'm really hoping this helps somebody who's believing God for healing. And what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as you come to God, what are you believing in? You are believing that the ministry, the death, resurrection, and ascension, everything about Jesus Christ is true. That's what you are believing. Anything else that assaults your mind, that you are not in the right posture, you're not in the right place, it's not the right day of the week. That's not, Jesus said, no, that's not the issue. The issue is what I've done is successful, and that's your approach to God. Almost taking you and I out of the equation. The only thing God says for you to do, which is how we became Christians in the first place, is believe. It doesn't have to make sense. You just have to believe that what God said he would do is true. And the reality, ladies and gentlemen, of this, as we come to a close tonight, to see this in action, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Well, I would like to read it, but we're running out of time. And the Bible says, this is a story of Peter and James at the beautiful gate. And I'll read as fast as I can. And the Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Acts 3 from verse 1. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Not that he was poor, just that I don't have any silver and gold to give you at that particular point in time. Not that I don't have it, but you're going to get something more valuable. "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That is a graphic example. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anyone out there who is believing God for healing, notice, as you come to the promise, Peter did not say, "We are in a temple, it's a great place for me to pray for you." You know, there was nobody singing before he started. There was nobody singing after he started. There was basically one thing and one thing only. He believed in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, as you go into this week, I really pray, as you come to the promises of God, whichever promises you need, knowing that you have a helper, knowing that you have a guide, knowing that the Holy Ghost will open the Bible to you, knowing that the Holy Ghost will make real to you what God has done, I really pray for you that the miracles you require happen this week. And miracles are an outward expression. But please understand, the reality of what God has done in your life is already settled in who Jesus is, miracle or no miracle. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go forward in confidence, believing in the fact that God has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I really hope that helps someone. I slowed down deliberately, and I really hope that makes it a little easier as you go into the place of prayer this week. Ladies and gentlemen, may God bless you, may God keep you, and may God guide you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. We have gone over by 3 minutes, and I sincerely apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful week. God bless you.